demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
I got a couple of little tidbits for you this afternoon. Mavericks' Jason Kidd will not coach tonight against the Nuggets due to an illness. He did not travel with the team to Denver because of a non-COVID illness, and we will be replaced by assistant coach Sean Sweeney for Friday night's in-season tournament game against the defending NBA champion Nuggets, according to the team.
What deal did they make with the NBA that they have to keep using non-COVID illness?
Like, why do we have to keep doing that? Non-COVID. I joke and say, you know, anytime somebody says they're sick, I'm like, oh, it must be COVID. But I'm joking. But yeah, the NBA, they got to make it clear. Non-COVID, that's the no-no word. Anything else, though, fine. That's, you know, whatever. But he's not coaching tonight.
Interesting.
You couldn't fight through the sickness?
Does that mean we have to have Adelman coach?
Yeah. David, you got to make these tournament games fair. The coaches, as you kind of talked about, the coach. What's in it for the coaches? They get some money too. It's not just the teams, but the head coach of the tournament's winning team will be awarded $500,000. Same that already had been designated for winning the teams for the winning team's players too. So are they splitting, like, the coach gets $500,000, the team gets $500,000, and they split the pot, or what?
I have no idea.
Because I'm very concerned that the multi-billionaire
Kroenke
families isn't going to get enough money here.
Includes the players and coaches, and they split that $100,000 or $500,000 grand prize.
Yeah. There it is. I got ESPN up, and that's the highlight. The in-season tournament. Okay, we've been calling it the mid-season tournament. It's the in-season tournament.
Because it is mid.
Well, kind of. I mean, it's early. Early season.
It's not even like
tournament. In-season tournament.
5 games in.
They couldn't come up with a better name for that?
In-season tournament. Well, I read that they've kept it very generic because they may want to change it, or if they want to get sponsors for it in the coming years, they'll be able to change it and get trademarks for it. So, like, the NBA Cup isn't going to always be the NBA Cup. Because it'll probably be
like a player's name or something.
NBA Cup or something.
What did Joel Embiid say about this? I want to get his quote on this because I think it's a little scary to hear this.
Yeah, this was from the ESPN article they put out this morning. When asked, Joel Embiid, league MVP, was asked, I'm not sure. I think it could be good. We've gotten used to the Larry O'Brien being the main trophy that everybody wants. So it's going to take a little adjusting to kind of figure out if something else is also as important as maybe the main trophy.
The fact that he's saying that out loud means that maybe that is a thought, I think, with the NBA, that this could somehow not replace, but be just as important, that they would view it as such.
Yeah, and that's my biggest thing is, how many, like, when we look at the record books in 20 years, are we going to say, oh, Luka Doncic he didn't win any NBA championships, but he won like 5 NBA Cups. What does that mean?
That's equal to Kobe Bryant.
Right.
And Michael Jordan. Now, that's my fears. Don't tell me it's snowing when it's 90 degrees outside. That's what I feel like with this midseason tournament. You're trying to tell me that this championship is meaningful and perhaps ultimately going to make it just as meaningful as the O'Brien trophy? Get out. You water it down, Angel. You water this stuff down. You know, I mean,
these guys have been, they lived their entire lives playing basketball, wanting to have the Larry O'Brien trophy. How many iconic pictures are there of athletes winning that trophy and holding it and just embracing it like a child?
Yeah.
No one's going to pick up this cup and go, woohoo!
Oh, I'll be really interested.
I've been working my whole life for this one.
What'd Butler say about it? Didn't Butler, he had some weird things to say about it too, didn't he?
Jimmy Butler of the Miami Heat was asked about it. He said, I just love hooping. I don't care what you call it. I just like to play basketball. That's all I'm going to say. Butler was then asked if it was meant to assume he wasn't interested in a new tournament to win and instead was focused solely on raising the Larry O'Brien trophy. He smiled again and said, I mean, you said it, not me.
None of the players care. You know,
I'm sure they care about the money, and that will make it I guess, competitive, but these guys are multimillionaires. $500,000 is like, oh, I can go buy a car. Woohoo.
Yeah, no, I just, they just don't care about this thing. And it's, you know, they're slamming this down our throats, telling us this is going to be a monster at this stage.
They're trying to use the NBA's front-focused players like Steph Curry and Bradley Beal for some reason. Kawhi, yeah. They're trying to promote it with the players as if they care about it. These players don't care.
No, you're trying to tell us this, and I'm watching every other segment on the four-letter network and all this other stuff, is that this is the big deal. They've got their analysts explaining it to us, and they're bringing everybody in. I don't know. Maybe all the promotion will actually pay off, and people will be so annoyed by it that they're kind of interested to see it now. I don't know. But it's going tonight. No Jason Kidd tonight. I guarantee if this was a finals game, Jason Kidd would fight through the sickness and coach.
Sure. Tough guy.
How good do you think the Mavericks are going to be? They're undefeated right now. It's early. 4-0. Luka's been amazing. He's leading the league in scoring right now.
I don't know. I honestly haven't watched a ton of Mavericks basketball the last few years since they've, you know, gotten Luka. I know they are good. I'm interested to see how the Kyrie relationship continues to work. But outside of Luka and Kyrie, you know, and the rookie, who else is there? I don't mean that negatively. I just don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, I've watched them once this year. I watched the Suns and Spurs again. They play each other they've already played each other twice.
You're scouting.
Wimby was good, dude. 30 plus?
Oh, wait.
No, he's good.
He's got to play the champ first.
I've watched him. No, I'm not saying he's the champ, but watch
him. He's got to play Jokic to see what this guy's really made.
He's good. I feel like all the people saying the Bull Bull thing, like, that's discrediting this. I'm watching this guy, dude. He's making key shot after key shot. Phoenix tied that game. They came back from all the way down. I think they were down by 10 or so. They tied that game, and Wimby was just making big play after big play. So, San Antonio, look out. Watch out for him. And as far as Dallas goes, I mean, you got Luka, you got Kyrie, Grant Williams, Derek Jones Jr., Derek Lively. Tim Hardaway, Josh Green. Yeah, it's a good basketball team. I don't know if I'll be curious to see if they can keep it with the chemistry there with Luka and Kyrie. When does that start to take a negative turn?
Maybe tonight. I think, you know, the Nuggets are kind of being looked at as underdogs in this game, I think, coming off of a loss. You know, the Mavericks are undefeated. They're off to a hot start. Oh, here we go. Big challenge up for the Mavericks. But you're playing in Denver. You're playing in one of the best home crowds.
Apparently their elevation's really, it's really high above sea level.
Something like that. I guess we'll find out exactly how high it is.
I had no idea. Denver's a 5.5-point favorite tonight.
Doesn't feel like it.
It does. I think I've still got a little bit of a hangover from the last Nuggets game. Mm-hmm. Like, I still feel like,
that was weird.
I don't want to see that ever again. I don't want to see Jamal Murray just never make any shots. Michael Porter Jr. just kind of stand around, and then Gordon not doing it. That was a weird thing. I'm not used to seeing the Nuggets like that. It doesn't happen very often. That was as bad as they probably looked, you know, in a while. And so that's enough to get you, you know, at least to bug you, to be in the back of your head a little bit, like, that's surely not going to be a regular thing. We're not going to see that on a regular basis, right? And, you know, we're going to talk to Eric Lacroix in a moment, our Avs insider, former Av, about how, you know, great teams that aspire to win multiple championships and dominate, they don't lose many in the regular season. They take the regular season very seriously because that will just better prepare them for the playoffs, so losing back-to-back is almost unacceptable. Now, the Avs did, but they get a nice win the other night, so this is what I'm saying. It's not the end of the world when you lose a game. You just want to see, how do you follow it up? How do you follow your favorites tonight? You are considered the favorite to win the title, you know, after your first four games. How do you bounce back? And that question is for everybody on that roster, not named Nikola Jokic. That's the big deal. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I want to shout out to Aloe Fiber. Fiber up your internet. Your games are taking forever to load, and everything's buffering way too. That's why you guys got to look at Aloe Fiber, alofiber.com. 16 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKI.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
A friend of ours, I've had him on the show before and played professional baseball, Mark Knutson, put together his Three Strikes blog, and one of his points is about the UNC Bears, Angel, about the University of Northern Colorado needing to drop to D2. And, Angel, help me out here. The problem with that, like you say that about football, doesn't that mean you have to drop to D2 every level? Volleyball, basketball, everything?
Yes. So at the Division II level, there is an exception that one team can move up to Division I, and that's it. That rule does not work the same way in Division I. You can't just have one team be, especially your biggest moneymaker, quote-unquote, just be Division II.
So
it doesn't work.
So football just couldn't be D2?
No.
And then the rest. So that's the problem with that, Mark. You'd be punishing a very successful volleyball program and a semi-successful basketball program.
And a really good wrestling program.
Well, and wrestling's interesting. Yeah, wrestling's in the, in the Big 12 and the wrestling side of things. But yes, you'd have to drop everybody down levels. And
then you could only pick one of those successful programs to go back to D1 or to stay at a D1 level.
Well, and here's the other thing. I get it. They're 0-8. I understand. They're not good. They got smoked by Montana. But it's not like we've been seeing 40-0 games for the Bears all season. They've been relatively close in a lot of their football games against really good football teams. The best teams in the Big Sky and some of the better teams in the FCS side of things.
No, I mean the Big Sky is kind of like the SEC of the FCS. It's one of the best. There's like 5-6 teams ranked every single year out of the Big Sky, and you know, we hear coaches say it, we hear players say it. It's the most competitive conference, and the Bears have been, outside of one game, fairly competitive in the Big Sky this year.
Yeah. Again, you look at that schedule and what they've had to deal with. It was brutal. It was very, and I'm not making excuses. I get it. I know the frustrations about that the Bears fans have and all of that. But you do have to at least call this out. There was an index rankings thing there that showed us that the Bears are playing the fourth hardest schedule in the FCS this season. They played four ranked opponents: Incarnate Word, who's anywhere between number 8 and 9. I don't know. Washington State, obviously, they're a top 25 team. Weber State, number 13. Sacramento State, number 5. Montana, number 5 or 6, and Idaho is number 3. So, and Idaho State and Abilene Christian, they've had big wins. They're in contention for conference championships. So it's been a tough, tough go.
Another thing about the Division II, Division I movement is that if they went back to Division II, they would have to cut two programs completely. Because in Division I, you can have either 7 men and 7 women's sports or 6 men and 8 women's sports. So if you were moved down to Division II, 2 or maybe 3 programs would be cut completely.
So there's just a lot more to it than just, oh, football, bippity-boppity, you're down to D2. You got to lower everybody. You got to cut programs. I mean, that is a very, very difficult conversation or difficult task. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Isai Chris talking about the midseason, in-season tournament, whatever. Who ponies up the midseason champs and runner-up funds?
Us.
Yeah.
Fans.
The money is going to the NBA.
Or they just sent a bill to Congress and it somehow got passed.
Brady, with this poll question, Stickman texting in, with this poll question, I didn't realize you have so many Wyoming fans. Or that's just CSU fans for you. Wyoming dominates. Also, SCO Buffs. I think you have realistic people that listen to the show. I don't think that you have a lot of Rams, you know, that just have the Rams green and gold colored goggles on all the time.
Maybe we need a third option. Just I hope both teams have fun.
I hope both teams do have fun. I got my picks coming up. My Wyoming is a 6-point favorite according to ESPN. Can't wait for this game.
I think the weather's supposed to be a little
windy.
Oof.
Ooh, it's windy in the Laramie?
Oh my gosh, yes.
What?
And that stadium is kind of just wide open there. Lovely.
Smitty says funding is the major hurdle for UNC or for any D1 or D1AA school. Yep. Yeah, Mark's not wrong in some of his assessments. The Bears, whether it's Ed Lamb or Nick Saban coaching this team, the struggles are real. You don't have a stadium locker room. You have to walk across the parking lot to go into the gym. And some of you go into the locker room and some hang out in the gym and have their talks with their position coaches. You did get the new workout room, which is cool. And it's really nice. You did get the new field. Thanks, Ed. Other Ed. So you're having upgrades there, but you need more. You know, and again, night and day difference, but you go to Canvas and they're not going to lose a player because their facilities aren't good. I mean, you go there, dude, it's amazing. The weight room's amazing. The lounges are amazing. The locker rooms, everything. And again, I get it. Night and day difference. But you go to the Montanas and Montana States, they have the facilities where we've even talked about could they potentially move up? We're talking about the Mountain West. Could one of those teams eventually move up? Because their facilities are so good that they would be able to compete when it comes to recruiting. So right now, what UNC has going for it is really just the local thing. It's stud players that don't want to leave the state, but aren't good enough to go to CU or CSU, don't want to be in the Air Force, don't want to go up to Laramie where it's windy. They're going to go to UNC. And listen, that's a small chunk, because if you're a good player, but you get turned down by CU and Wyoming and CSU, that doesn't necessarily mean you want it. You just have to stay in Colorado. You'll go play somewhere else. Oh, I got a scholarship offer from Utah State. I'll go over there. I'll do that. So UNC, you have to have a lot of things go right for you. You have to have really good players that are kind of gems that are getting overlooked by the FBS teams in this area. And then you have to have them want to stay in the state badly enough where they'll go, you know what, I will play D1 FCS and see how it goes for a year. And that's the other thing. Look what happened with Dalton Knecht. I know it's basketball, but he was so good, quickly got a lot of NIL money.
He's like the top player for Tennessee this year.
And now he's being previewed and touted as potentially a top 25 player in college basketball. How about that? Dalton Knecht. Had him on the show a few times.
I'm surprised by it, honestly.
He was good, but was he that good?
I didn't think so.
He will be now, I guess. I mean, who knows? But that's the other problem. As soon as a guy starts to show that they're a stud, you have to hope they didn't already transfer. Like a Dalen Kuntz, those kind of guys. Because then if they transfer again, you got to sit out. You just have a lot of things working against you. So I do understand.
There's also a little bit of last chance you type of things. You know, players will come here to get one last shot at Division
One. Sure. Mm-hmm.
A guy like St. Thomas, who we'll see on the basketball team, a guy that's bounced around JUCO in Division Two, is now finally getting a shot at Division One, and he may only play a year, but he's going to have a year worth of footage.
Yeah. Blake had retweeted at the voice of the Bears, Blake Olson. He says, as always, Mark, you bring up great points. From my perspective, I see improvement despite the record. If I'm a great high school player in Colorado and not being offered by the region's four FBS programs, I would still head to UNC. Family can easily attend the home games. Yeah. Somebody had written back and said, I'd be curious what you've seen that makes you say that. Well, again, they have been competitive, and that's where you are. And I know people listening probably just say, that sounds like an excuse. It is. They're not a good football team. But they've been competitive.
You have to look at it with the perspective that this team was getting blown out in every single game the last 3-4 years. Whether it was Collins, whether it was McCaffrey, whatever. They're not doing that under Ed Lamb.
No.
Outside of the Montana game where, you know, the quarterback was in and out of the game with injuries and whatever, they have been competitive.
Yeah.
They have not hung their heads, if I've been saying, since the week one. This program has a different mindset right now. And that's how it has to start. It may not look pretty. You know, planting asparagus isn't the nicest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not the prettiest looking plant. But by God, when you harvest it, you're going to have a lot of it.
It's good for you, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good for you.
I like Ed Lamb. I'm really rooting for him. He does have an uphill battle, but the idea that you can just wave a wand and go, football team back to D2, everything that I've heard is, no, that's not realistic. I mean, I hear that from people all over that, they just need to drop, football just needs to drop to D2. It just doesn't work like that. And if you're saying
like
UNC...
You love UNC so much that you want them to be successful again at the risk of nearly crippling the university by doing it.
If you're saying that UNC as a whole should just drop down, then you're punishing really good programs. There's a volleyball team in this area. That UNC volleyball team is the best in the state. They got one of the best coaches in all of college volleyball. Turned down a CSU job to stay at UNC. You would be punishing all of those teams. So it just doesn't happen like that. 31 minutes after the hour, Eric Lacroix going to join us to talk some hockey coming up next. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, Eric Lacroix joining us, talking all things Colorado Avalanche. And Eric, my man, I was thinking about you over the weekend. We talked about this last Friday about how important that Buffalo game was, because these great teams, these upper echelon teams, these teams that really want to achieve a certain level of greatness, you just don't see them lose two in a row. So that's why I thought the Wednesday game against the Blues was so early in the season, I get it, but was so massive to come away with that 4-1 win.
Oh, it was. It was. You're right, because it meant it. You know, you don't want to lose two in a row, and then it's rare that guys like the Avalanche will have performance. I thought both games, they were pretty identical. I didn't like the execution. I didn't like the way they looked. They looked a little bit all over the map, and obviously, you know, puck didn't go their way. They didn't have any puck luck, but I just felt they were out of gas. And you got to say you're crazy. It's early in the season. You know, no one's out of gas. No, what I mean by that is, you know, it's a long few weeks for training camp. And then, you know, pretty much the first few weeks of the season, they've been on the road. I think it's a good thing. You get to bond. You get to be with the fellas. But I think also after a while, it's just a little redundant. And I felt they were just tired and things didn't go their way. Then they came home, and I always say you got to be tough. I mean, it is a fact. Your first game coming back after a road trip, it's tough. It's a tough game to play for all the reasons. And it's not just the Avalanche, it's anybody. But they had that day in between, right? They had those 2 days. So they had a day off. They didn't get home too late from Buffalo because it was an afternoon game. So it was like 8, 9 o'clock. They were in their houses, and then Monday was off, and they had a good practice, business-like practice Tuesday, and then, you know, I felt that, you know, if I was a betting guy, I mean, they would have, you know, come out victorious, and they did against the Blues. I thought it was a good bounce back. The guys came, you know, the top-end guys were a lot better than the last two games, and everybody was a lot better, and it just kind of felt like a good team victory.
Well, and it was nice to see, too. I mean, a night where Georgie's taken off, backup goalie comes in there, and Ivan was pretty damn solid. I mean, he was spectacular, at least for that one instance, that one game.
That's what you want. You want your backup to come in and give your starter a rest. And the worst thing you can do as a backup is get in there, and sometimes it's not even your fault, you know what I mean? But the puck is not going your way, and it's not going the team's way. And next thing you know, the coach is like, God, do I pull him? Because you're down 5-1 or 6-1. And then it's like, you know, the starter's supposed to get a day off. Then you're like, man, you know, I don't want to let him lose his confidence, or, you know what I mean, or leave him in there too long. But, you know, fortunately it didn't happen. It was perfect. And, you know, he did a good job. And the team played well in front of him. And the coaching staff had no such decisions to make. So it worked out pretty good.
Talking to Eric Lacroix on the program here, as this Avs team gets set tomorrow to go up against the Las Vegas Golden Knights, so we're looking forward to that. And then I know I keep talking about it, but Eric, every single game, Mikko Rantanen, I mean, we know he's a good player. We know he's like a superstar player, but he is getting into that upper echelon conversation. Every single night, he is doing something a little bit more spectacular than the night before.
Yeah, special player, elite player, right? Special world-class talent. He's getting there, and he's just hitting his prime, and I think we're only scratching the surface with him. I do believe he'll get a career year last year, and he'll have a better year this year. Yeah, it's a combination of size and skill, and he's just, you know, underrated passer. He's a great passer. Go back to game one there against L.A. when he gives it to McKinnon. Those are elite plays, and yeah, he's fun to watch. That's why when you go a couple games where there's not much going on, you're kind of like, man, you know what I mean? I think he's due, and you know he scored that short side goal there where there's traffic everywhere. I shoot that puck, I hit four people, and puck ends up in the corner. He shoots it, you know, he finds the corner, and that's why you score 50, 60 in this league, and I think he's well on his way for another career year this year.
Do you think on the goalie side of things, will we see Georgie tomorrow, or what do you think on that side? Or does he need a little bit more of a break? I know Coach Bednar had talked about giving him a little bit more of a break, maybe more of a mental break, better than anything.
Yeah, and that's what he got this week. When you think about it, it's a pretty easy week. Sunday, you know, they got home not bad. You know, like I said, pretty early. Monday was off. Tuesday, he had a nice practice, and you know, practice, work on his game with UC Percula, the goalie coach, and then Wednesday he didn't play, so you know, just a morning skate. And then yesterday was a light practice, and it's the mom's trip, right? So they got on the flight, went to Vegas, and today's a complete day off. And so I think he'll be ready to go today. So that gives him a full week. I think that was the plan all along, and you know, to give the backup, whether it was going to be Eustace Hanninen or Ivan there for that game, and now he'll be back in there for you know, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I would say for the majority of the starts here, the next six or seven.
So a few games into this season, obviously started out with the bang, Eric, and then you get the two losses in a row. Do you have any concerns about this team right now? Is there anything in your head where you're just thinking, we got to watch this closely, hope this doesn't escalate? Or do you feel like slight bumps in the road, two losses last week, nothing really to worry about with this team? They're still right on pace to go grab themselves another Stanley Cup for, you know, for the second time in 3 years.
No, I'm not worried at all. And, you know, they're 7-2. You win tomorrow. This is your first 10-game segment at 8-2. You're talking about 800 hockey. You're talking about first overall. You keep that pace. So it is a good start. You lose that game. You're 7-3 at 700 hockey. You're talking about, you know, probably clinching your division, right? So I'm not worried about those guys. They're, you know, there's a few new guys and everybody's getting accustomed to it and their new roles and new situations within the team. And, you know, you got to give it, you know, usually, you know, 7 to 10 games, give and take. And that's where you're at right now for the Tatars. And even Drouin, that was a healthy scratch last game. And Wood and Colton, you can see Colton's coming into his own now. And same with Wood. Then, you know, somewhere they're pretty solid. Their special teams have been more than fine. Goaltending's been more than fine. And, you know, I think their depth has shown right now that, you know, they're going to be relied upon. And that's what's going to make them dangerous this year. Now you got a game tomorrow night. You got to get back to playing championship style hockey. You're going to play Vegas. They just won. They're off to a 9-0-1 start. They're feeling good about themselves. And Vegas is, you know, they play more the team game approach. They don't have as much firepower as the Avalanche do, but they do have some great players, obviously. But they're built a little differently. And now the Avalanche, they got to make sure they get back on managing the puck well, not making turnovers like they did in those two bad games there. It was self-inflicted, a lot of those goals, right? And then you want to make sure you have championship-like details, and that's what's going to make you successful tomorrow night.
Eric Lacroix joins us each and every Friday to talk some Colorado Avalanche hockey, but also looking forward to another big weekend for the Colorado Grit, going up against the New Mexico Ice Wolves tonight and tomorrow. A big weekend of hockey, really, but the Grit getting right back after it.
Oh, yeah, just leaving my youngest's youth hockey game here, and
They got a tournament here in Denver, and I'm going to get in my car, drive to Greeley. I'm going to be there tonight. It's going to be fun. Like you said, New Mexico. So obviously the South Division, lots of good teams in this Northern American Hockey League and against the grit. So, yeah, it's fun. Tonight, tomorrow night, it's going to be great to see those guys bounce back a little bit. They got to get back on the W column here. And, you know, I think they've had a good week of practice, and the boys will be ready to show their talent tonight and make people of Greeley proud in Northern Colorado as well.
I know we're giving away merchandise and tickets and all that stuff, but, man, I'm telling our listeners, it's just such a cool logo, too, the grit. So you guys want to get your grit merch, your tickets, check out ColoradoGritHockey.com. Eric, my man, it's going to be a busy weekend of hockey for you, and I know you're absolutely loving it.
I love it. I love it. And then you add the ass to tomorrow night, and then couple more youth hockey games and the grit tomorrow night and tonight. So, yeah, that's a lot. That's, you know, couldn't ask for more.
Yeah, well, have a great weekend, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next Friday.
You too, my friend. Thank you.
Eric Lacroix, former Colorado Avalanche, talking Avalanche with us every single Friday. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you guys want to chime in on our text line, you can get at us at any point. And our poll question of the day is pretty easy today. Who you got, Wyoming or Colorado State? Big Hub says, I think everyone just thinks the Rams will lose, but a rivalry sparks a great matchup like CSU versus CU. So do you think that we'll see kind of a spark for CSU like we saw against the Buffs? I mean, that was arguably, even though that wasn't a win, that was one of their best games of the season, especially offensively. Do we see a Rams team come firing, knowing this is a rival game? I mean, you heard Jack Howell on Tuesday. He was fired up. This team was like, no, we lost Air Force, that sucks, but we are turning the damn page because we have got the Wyoming game. We got the border war coming up. That thing means everything to us. So I'll be interested to see if the Rams show us that same spark that they did against the Buffs.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the same for Wyoming. I'm very
true. Yeah,
to see what team is going to bring their own juice, bring their own energy. You know, Wyoming's at home, and it's Friday night in Laramie, college students are going to be going crazy. It's going to be loud. It's going to be windy. Who's going to bring that energy? Both teams coming off pretty tough, if not embarrassing, losses. So someone's got to shake back tonight, and it should be a good game.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm absolutely ready. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up this hour. We got Football Friday presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk to Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the Bears. It's a frustrating year for him. What's he looking for these next 3 weeks? Three games remaining for the University of Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Big border war tonight. Be careful if you're going up to this game. I hear the, according to our news anyway, like the DUI checkpoints are going to be out there. So obviously do the smart things and get yourself a designated driver or just don't have anything and watch this game.
But Brady, how am I going to have fun?
it's the border war. You know, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a great game. I'm not sure where I'm going on my picks yet, but it's going to be a great game. It's always a great game.
Yeah, especially at night, driving down that road. Be careful.
Especially, yeah. And I'll be at home, tucked in, watching this game, because Friday night football. In my onesie. So, Tanner doesn't like it. Bruce doesn't like Friday night college football. He's a coach. He's a preps coach. You know, I get it.
I get it, but I mean...
But for me, I'm...
Football's on. I'm watching football.
Oh, I'm watching football.
It's on the radio. I'm going to listen to it. If it's on TV, I'm watching it.
Yeah.
If I have to just imagine it, and then I'll just imagine it.
I'll just imagine it. Yep. It's going to be a great game. Now, Angel, you see big-time college football traditions and stuff, but now that you've learned a little bit about the boot run and the border war, what are your thoughts, you know, coming from a big college fan base background?
I like it. I mean, I always like rivalry games that have a trophy in it because I like that. you know, the team running to the sideline to grab the trophy after a game.
Quickly
and
go
you
get
got,
that
you got
thing.
To go pass it around from school to school. I know Alabama-Auburn, they have a trophy that they don't do it after the game. They actually do it in the basketball season. So when Alabama hosts Auburn, they will exchange the trophy there in front of their fans. So that's kind of their tradition for that. But, you know, like the Paul Bear, the Paul Bunyan trophy, the axe, the USC Notre Dame Shalaya thing, I think that's what it's called. There's a lot of cool little trophies. So, yeah, the boot one is definitely cool. And the story behind it and involving both schools' ROTC program, that's really cool.
Yeah, I love the run. Like I said, it was cool to get out there yesterday. I was out there bright and early, but it was cool. You know, it's got to be one of the top trophies. I mean, an actual boot and everything. I mean, that's great, isn't it? It's one of the tops. Who we got? Lonster's on the line. What's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's Friday, ready to rock and roll.
You know what? I'm ready to rock. In fact, I'm going to a high school game tonight.
Where are you going tonight?
Gonna go watch Mountain View and Roosevelt.
All right, that'll be good. Should be a good one.
Yeah.
Playoff game?
Not yet. We the 3A. Well, Loveland will have their playoff game tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Because 3A is the 3A starts next week. Is that right?
Yeah, they do. And the rest of the schedule starts up tonight. In fact, Loveland's got theirs tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I love it, man. What's on your mind, Lonster?
You know what? You've been talking about the UNC football team.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of like to throw my comments in real quick if I could.
Absolutely. Okay?
You know, I've been listening to quite a bit of the broadcast on your station there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they can turn this program around. I really like what he's doing with that team there.
They're competitive, and I know that doesn't sound great to competitive fans that are like, no, we want to be winning, but they are competitive, and it is a brand new coach. I know that's not going to ease a lot of people's minds, but I suppose it could be worse. You could be getting blown out by all these teams.
Yeah, and UNC was the first time they got blown out this year by Montana.
Yeah, you're right.
And the rest of teams, and the rest of us, because they've been hanging in there like it was no problem there. It's just that they just cannot get the wins. I mean, right now, it's just a learning curve.
Yeah, I just think it's going to take time. I don't know. I mean, next year, obviously, we'll see what happens. But this year's just kind of rough. It's a rough go. Lonzo, what's for lunch today, man?
I'm going to have fish and chips.
Wow, that sounds pretty good. You putting some hot sauce on that? Do you do hot sauce with that?
Oh, yeah. Put them on the fries. I'm set. And maybe some in the coleslaw. I'm set.
You're making me hungry, Lonster. Bring it on over, my friend.
You know what? We're going to have to get together and do lunch one of these.
I know. I'm in. We just got to figure it out. We'll figure it out.
You know what? Yeah, let's see if we can work out something there, you know?
All right. Sounds good, my man. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
You too. It's hard to look at an 0-8. What are they, 0-8? It's hard to look at an 0-8 team and say, yeah, they're gonna get it. They're doing it. But a new coach, everything that happened with Ed McCaffrey and this team last year, very difficult. Guys that thought that were gonna be on the field, like David Hogue,
they're been doing on the field. Things the right way,
and that
from
should
a player
pay off.
Standpoint, from a coach's standpoint, from a relationship with the community. And Ed Lamb's focus on recruiting Colorado kids, they're doing it the right way. It's going to take time.
Yeah, it'll take time. I'm not writing this coach off. I'm not doing that. I thought they'd win three or four games this year, and they still may. They could win three. You know, they got three left. If they win. So you win three in a row, Angel, and suddenly people are like, oh, this thing's going is on the uptick.
Build momentum at the end of the year.
You build a lot of momentum, sure. All right, Football Friday presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza is coming up next. We got Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for those UNC Bears, and we'll talk to him a bit coming up next. I got Ethan Burr talking Cowboys and Rams. I got Mark Johnson talking Buffs and Beavers. All of it coming up in the final hour of the week, final hour of the program. We'll be right back.